It's Thursday, October 22nd, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a primer of the tech podcast network. Hey, everyone, last show here in Florida, getting ready to head home to Hawaii. And boy, I tell you, I'm ready to go home for a few days. Got a great show lined up for you folks. And a little rough start tonight, but we'll talk about that. Anyway, you know what's coming next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the Sunshine State via my portable podcasting studio. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out the archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. For those of you new, hey, we want to make sure, of course, that you get subscribed, because this show is primarily brought to you via audio podcast. There's a few people up on Ustream watching tonight, having a little bit of a kind of an interesting start tonight, folks. Got all ready early, and then I forgot that I had a phone call at 7:30 tonight, so I kept some of you on Ustream hanging for about 30 minutes. I apologize about that, but thanks for hanging out. Thanks for waiting for the show. And I tell you, I'm all ready to, actually, the suitcase is packed. Clothes are laid out. I have to leave again at O'Dark 30 to get to the airport. I have to leave the hotel here about 4 a.m. Because I have a 6 a.m. departure, and then I'll get into Chicago, do a flight transfer, then into Honolulu tomorrow afternoon about 2:30. I get to spend Friday, Saturday, and all day Sunday home. And then Sunday night, I get on an airplane once again and head out to Silicon Valley. Now, my next show will be from Sand Hill Road in Silicon Valley on Monday evening, so I hope that you'll tune in Monday for the show. I'll be out on the West Coast Pacific time, so if you want to catch the live show via Ustream, you can do so. And then, of course, I'll be in the Valley all week, and then fly home on Friday to really wrap up an entire month of travel and being on the road. I'm hoping, and right now, that my schedule looks like that I'll be back in the studio for my regular show recorded in Hawaii pretty much all of the month of November. At least that's the that's the plan at this very moment. Of course, I want to welcome all the Ohana to the show. Hey, thanks for hanging out tonight, or hanging out whenever you may be listening to the podcast. And, of course, welcome the 159 listeners from, excuse me, the countries, listeners from 159 countries worldwide for tuning in as well. Okay, podcast award stuff, boy, it's been busy. Actually had my audit firm pulling database data over the last couple of days. I actually received the email this morning with all the database entries, so now I got to get those parsed out. I'll probably do that on the airplane ride home, and then by the time I get in Honolulu, I'll be ready to email our 43 or 44 reviewers to get busy on the podcast award nominations. So that will be happening as soon as I get back to Honolulu. So let me look at my little list here. Not a lot going on this week, except I've had a great set of meetings here in Florida. Finally, the weather turned warm, and it's been nice here the last couple of days. But, you know, one thing that pretty much shocked me, and I got to share with you, was on Tuesday day, I was in Jacksonville, and I actually stayed in a hotel in Orange Park. Now, if you guys have been watching the national news, you will know that, sadly, a young lady was, a 7-year-old girl, was abducted here and they believe now is very sadly has been murdered. This is what it appears. Found her body in Georgia, but right here in this, you know, this town, it's really south of Jacksonville, Florida, in this little area called Orange Park, where my hotel's at tonight, is where this tragedy happened. And there's been some people standing on the streets. The national news trucks have been in the hotel parking lot. It's really, and this is just a quiet, little, small town. I shouldn't say small town. I guess it's attached to it's pretty metro, in, you know, for a Florida community. But there are sadly some sickos out there, and it's really too bad. It really, really is. So my heart goes out to the family, of course, and let's hope that they catch this this individual and bring him to justice. It's just indescribable. It really is how this happens. It just makes me really wonder at times about people, and it's just horrible. It really is. But I thought I'd share that with you. Kind of, you know, you may have seen that on the news, but it's been kind of close to home, at least here while I've been in the local area. So anyway, basically that's kind of what's going on. All right, today is also, on a new topic here, today is the launch of Windows 7. I want to congratulate Microsoft for their release of Windows 7. And everything so far appears to, everyone is giving basically a thumbs up so far. Lots of great reviews. I know that I got notice from Newegg that my FedEx deliveries were on the way, and that I should have a couple of copies of Windows 7 waiting at the house to convert to some machines. And so I'm looking forward to getting home and playing with that. I don't know if I'm going to have time to do that or not, but I definitely will be eyeing the box. That's for sure. I really will. Okay, let me see here. Let me look at what else I've got in my list. I think that's it. Just really kind of short to commentary tonight on what's going on here. Of course, I want to take a moment and thank the sponsors of the show. If you're looking for a domain name, virtual dedicated server, shared hosting account, whatever it may be in the online world, GoDaddy.com has what you need. And believe me, you can save a bunch of money by using some of my promo codes when you get over to the GoDaddy checkout counter. Use that promo code Todd to save 10%. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. You can use Todd20. That'll save you 20% on a one-year shared hosting account. ComSale on .com renewals and so forth. So make sure you take a moment to check out the offerings over there at GoDaddy.com. Share those codes with your friends and family members. Link up to my page that has all of the codes when you put up blog posts. And we definitely appreciate that. Helps keep the search terms relevant in Google, which drives a little more traffic to us from time to time as people search on the terms. So that helps me as well. So again, thanks for GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here of the Geek News Central podcast. This week, I had a chance several times to use GoToMeeting with some online meeting sessions with folks. Matter of fact, I had an online meeting session back in with some folks back in Hawaii. You know, here I am in Florida, and actually having a online meeting with someone back in Honolulu, which was kind of funny because, you know, I'm supposed to be there versus here, but the application works great no matter where you're at. And really, you know, when you're working in a local community and you're doing a lot of business locally, simply getting in the car these days and just driving across town takes time, takes gas money. Gas prices are down, but they're eventually going to rise, but still just that time wasted. So, you know, that old way meeting business really doesn't work anymore because there is a new and better way to meet clients and colleagues online. GoToMeeting is like, really, it's like meeting in person. It's less time consuming, less expensive, and you really, all you have to do to start a meeting is just a single click of a mouse. Everyone can see your computer, or you can see theirs if they have something to show you. You don't have to call them on the phone. You just talk into your microphone that's on your computer with via voice IP. You can collaborate and do contracts or work on training sessions, whatever it may be, product demos. GoToMeeting is the best application for that. Our listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited online meetings free. For this special offer, you must visit www.goToMeeting.com/techpodcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast for a free trial. Kind of got off beat tonight and had a just kind of was kind of weird getting started here. I had everything ready, was all ready to go, and then boom, I had to put myself on a hold for about 30 minutes. So I just feel like my timing's off, but that's just, you know, me being self-critical of myself during during the show. All right, let me look at my list. I think that's all good. So we'll save that and drop that out and bring up Chrome so I can get the tech articles up for tonight. Hey, if you have any commentary on tonight's show, the telephone number is +1 619 342 7365, +1 619 342 7365, and of course you can always leave email at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. That'll get you hooked up with the contact information for us, and you can send information to me about the show and what you were thinking about it. You guys see a little transfer there in between one camera and the next. Two different webcams definitely can look absolutely different from one view to the other. One's got good color depth, the other one's horrible. As I said earlier in the show, Windows 7 is finally here, and we have to wonder if it's going to redeem Microsoft Vista's tarnished image. You know, everything so far indicates that it probably will, but only mass adoption is going to really find out whether or not that's the case. But what I wanted to do tonight was dedicate some time and put up some resources for you if you're just starting to use Windows 7, if you picked up your copy today. The folks over at PC Magazine have a great article, basically what's changed in Windows, what you can do to get the most out of it, talking about installation tips, a variety of application information, a pretty good article. Again, I'll have that linked up for you in the show notes. The folks over at Amazon said that Windows 7 was the largest pre-order application that has ever graced their shopping cart. So essentially, they broke all kinds of records over there. And the folks over at Microsoft have obviously had a PR press campaign going on in a very, very big way. In Japan, and Burger King's in Japan are selling a Windows 7 Whopper. So this is pretty cool. You know, Japan, they're always doing all kinds of wacky stunts. But if you go to a BK in Japan, you can pick up Burger King's exclusive Windows 7 Whopper. It's 7 stacked beef patties. Your usual Whopper to over 5 inches in height. The whole thing costs approximately 777 yen, or about $9. It's going to be available for only 1 week or 7 days. If you're in Japan and you're close to a BK, now I'll be honest, spending a lot of time in Japan, I only saw McDonald's there. I didn't see Burger King. So if you are in mainland Japan and you can get into a Burger King, please, 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 buy one of these things and take a picture of it for us and send it over to the show. I know we have a number of listeners in Japan, so please do that. And so hopefully we will be able to get a picture of this thing and put it up on the blog. So again, the Windows 7 Whopper is available in Japan by Burger King. So kind of cute on the folks at Microsoft's part. Now, if you're a Mac user, yes, don't worry. We've got news for you, too. If you want to run Windows 7 on your Mac, the folks over at Gizmodo have detailed steps on how to get up and running. Windows 7 and Snow Leopard running together, of course, are great. Both the applications are relatively inexpensive. Boot camp is free, so you know you have no really excuse not to run either. Run Windows 7 along with Snow Leopard. So get out there and pick up your copies as well, Mac users, and make sure you support Microsoft as much as I know it you are begrudgingly wanting to do that. This is probably the cheapest way for you to get up online with Windows. If you already have a Mac machine, some of you are saying, why would I ever do that? But Boot Camp is a way. Parallels is as well. That's what I use personally. I use Parallels. And we'll definitely be installing Windows 7 on at least one of my Macs at home. So we'll see how it runs. You guys know I've got a test machine there. Well, that machine will get upgraded first. But there is a little love out there for Mac users. Microsoft also today started selling PCs online, available via the Microsoft Store. Along with that, there was news today that some Microsoft stores have opened nationwide, including a Microsoft Windows Cafe in Paris. So if you're in France and you're in Paris, you'll definitely want to go over to the Microsoft Windows Cafe. And not only can you get probably a nice coffee, you can probably at the same time check out some Windows machines. So Microsoft has got a full court press here on the launch on Windows 7, launching some of their stores online and also real-world stores in various malls around the country. And you'll see many more of those opening through the holidays as we are. Can you believe that? We are already mid-October or late October. And like Thanksgiving is just like a month away. I'm like, where's the time going? It's just amazing. It really, really, really is. I want to talk a little bit about VideoPress. Moving topics here. VideoPress for WordPress. How many of you are familiar with this? And I don't know if I missed this before or if this is new, but VideoPress is a site. Run by the folks at WordPress, and you don't have to have a WordPress hosted blog. You can be hosting one yourself or using one of their hosted blogs, but you can purchase a VideoPress upgrade. You can upload videos and embed them into your WordPress.com hosted site. Or you can install the VideoPress plugin on your own WordPress blog. The plugin allows you to access your WordPress.com blog media library and extract and insert video embed codes into your WordPress.org blog. So I was not familiar with this at all. I will definitely be checking this out. Maybe I just missed it, but if any of you are using this already, if you're a WordPress user, I'd love to hear from you what your impressions are so far on VideoPress. I'll have a link up to that in the show notes. I should mention as well, if you're a WordPress user, you need to upgrade. WordPress has released version 2.8.5 today, not only with a small feature release, but mostly security updates. So if you are a WordPress user and you're on a prior version, 2.8.4, 2.8.3, you need to upgrade to 2.8.5. This is called a hardening release. Basically, it's the interim release to essentially get WordPress secured up. You know, they've had some security issues in the past. Some websites have gotten hacked. Many of you, if you're using WordPress, may not know that your sites are out of date. If you want to know if you need to upgrade, just log into your WordPress blog, go to your dashboard, and you'll get the information you need to upgrade. And I like their one-click upgrade. I have probably 9 or 10 blogs on a variety of different websites that are running on WordPress. And I have a little script that basically logs me into all of them. And then I just click, 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 click. I upgrade all of them immediately. I'm doing nightly backups already, so I'm not so worried about backing up my blog before I do the upgrade, because I have an upgrade from the evening prior. If that's another thing too, make sure you back up. That's a safe thing to do, and there's plugins to do that in case you don't want to monkey around getting into the hocus pocus of PHP and MySQL. But get your blog backed up, and then do the upgrade and get it locked down. Of course, Apple this week wanted to rain on the parade of Microsoft, and Tuesday they started making major announcements about updates to their line of Macs. Someone actually went out and picked up one of the new Intel 27-inch iMacs and tore it down. So if you want to see what the insides of an iMac looks like, you definitely want to go ahead and bounce over to this link that I have in the show notes, which is also delivered to those of you that are subscribed to the newsletter, which I encourage all of you to do, to be subscribed to the newsletter. You can find a link to that in the third column of the website. But you can check out the breakdown of this. And it's kind of good because you can get an idea on how to repair your iMac if you run into trouble. Be fully aware that if you break down your machine, you are risking voiding your warranty. But you can see how little there is inside the iMac. But they just completely broke this thing down. They got multiple steps. They show the tools that you need and so forth. But the link will obviously be up in the show notes. All right, Verizon is hosting a Droid event on October 28th. On the last show, I was a little bit ahead of myself. I guess the Droid has not been released yet, so we're a week from today. Verizon is going to have a press event in conjunction with Motorola. They don't say where, but I would expect that we will see the Droid in its full glory starting next week. But invitations have went out for those that are connected, probably in the Silicon Valley area. No, I am not. I don't have an invite to the Droid event, but I might actually be encouraged to it sets on Wednesday the 28th. So yeah, that would work. If anyone has an invite and there's an event in San Francisco, I would love to go. Send me an invite to this. Any Verizon marketeers listening to the show, be happy to come over and check it out. All right, let's talk a little bit about the FCC. The FCC has approved net neutrality rules, and really now the fight begins. And what they have done is they have approved a draft of new openness rules for the broadband and mobile wireless connections to the internet. Essentially this draft now goes into a 60-day commenting period where individuals and companies can respond to the draft. It's 107 pages, folks. Yes, the draft is 107 pages, and I'm sure we're going to see intense public debate. We're going to see companies like AT&T and so forth doing a lot of lobbying, a lot of twisting of senators' arms to loosen the net neutrality rules. But you need to get your comments in. And I'll have a link up in the show notes on information on how you can go over and make comments at the FCC on the new net neutrality rule proposal. And we need everyone's voice to go over and do this, because this is our chance, really, to have a say in what's going to happen with the internet and wireless and broadband services. We all know that a lot of the mobile networks are not happy with this proposal. And what's kind of funny, it's kind of contradictory, because Verizon, one of the Verizon leads 2 days ago, was simply blasting the FCC. But today, Google and Verizon came out with a joint statement basically getting behind the net neutrality rules. So it's like there's one portion of Verizon that is screaming and kicking about this, and then there's this other group that's trying to play nice and in supporting this. They can't have it both ways, folks. They really can't. And I saw this and I said, wow, what an oxymoron. Because here you got one guy that's complaining, and then you got this other group that's making a joint press release with Google supporting the net neutrality rules. So kind of weird. It really, really was. Um, One thing I do want to remind everyone, we got this national listener survey going on. The link was in the last show notes on the website at geeknewscentral.com. Of course, it went out in the newsletter. I know a large number of you went out and filled the survey out. I want to remind you to please go do so. If you haven't, go fill that survey out for us. Again, it's a national survey. We've got many podcasters that are promoting it. You'll hear it on other shows that you listen to in the shows on Blueberry.com, Tech Podcast, or over at PCN, part of our Raw Voice family of shows. Our medical network, our travel network are all supporting it. So we hope that you'll participate. You only have to do it once from any show, and that'll get your feelings on podcast advertising felt, along with some other questions that they ask. No one's going to call on you. No one's going to collect any personal data. This is just going into a big pool of information so that we can get a real good handle on what you, the audience, thinks of advertising in podcast. And we definitely appreciate everyone that participates, and I encourage every one of you to go over and do it. Again, I'll have the link up in the show notes tonight. You'll see it in the show notes. Go over there and take 5-10 minutes and fill out. Actually, I think it'll take you about 5. It won't take you very long at all. Now, I talked just a little bit about Thanksgiving around the corner. And, of course, what is Thanksgiving famous for? Black Friday, right? So the first Black Friday ad has leaked, and it's from Office Max. And matter of fact, I can tell that companies are getting day mode because I received like 5 voicemails today. Phone numbers was ringing. I'm looking at the my phone, and all these people that are calling me, I have no idea who they are. It's numbers that aren't in my address book. And it was all PR agents saying, "Hey, Todd, are you doing any Christmas review? Are you going to be talking about any stuff to pick up for the holidays? We've got a great line of stuff. We'd like to share information with you." And this, you can tell, they're being pretty aggressive. But let me give you some info here on what Office Max is going to offer up on Black Friday. So, you can start planning your day after Thanksgiving shopping strategy right now. Office Max is going to include a $150 Acer Aspire 1. That's one of those small portable computers. A $30 portable DVD player, HP OfficeJet wireless all-in-one printer for $50, the HP OfficeJet Pro 8500. This is amazing price. The HP OfficeJet Pro 8500 all-in-one printer, $139. I think this printer originally, because I think I have a 7700. When I bought my 7700, it was nearly $400. So $139, that's a huge steal. They're going to have digital cameras, of course, dime a dozen, media cards, a variety of hard drives, portable USB storage, software, video games, you name it. Black Friday prices available in the show notes tonight for Office Max. Plan your strategy now. We'll get you as many links as we can to these types of leaks on good deals that are going to happen on Black Friday so you can plan your shop to your drop event the day after Thanksgiving. All right, AT&T made an announcement on their quarterly earnings. And what was important about this was to see how many new iPhones they sold. Apparently, 4.3 million new integrated devices activated by AT&T in the last quarter. 3.2 million of those were iPhones. That's a 74% market share on mobile phones. 40% of those iPhone activations were new to AT&T, and this is huge. AT&T now has 81.6 million wireless subscribers, and somehow it's amazing. It's amazing that they have that many. And if you figure 70% of them have iPhones, that's just a crazy number. But everywhere I go, what do I see come out of people's pockets? iPhones. I see a lot of Androids, and I see a lot of Blackberries. I don't see anything else. I see iPhones, Blackberries, and Androids. Primarily the, T-Mobile Android. I see a huge number of those. But the quarterly earnings were okay, propped up by, of course, the iPhone sales. Now, in the conference call that was made to announce the earnings, they indicated that it is possible that their exclusivity to the iPhone may be coming to an end. They did not say a date. They only hinted at it. So this has this, you know, Wall Street speculating that AT&T is trying to essentially kind of get the news out as early as possible to soften the blow over the long run. We'll see what happens with their stock price if investors seem to think that this is the actual this is actually what's going to happen. So we'll keep you advised. And yeah, everyone's now kind of speculating that they are not going to be the exclusive holder of the iPhone. So that's, you know, that's really good news for all of us. And those of you that are Verizon customers, if the rumors are true that someone's trying to call me right now. If the if it's true on the investors, then what was I saying? Oh, if you're Verizon users, and my phone ringing got me disoriented. If the if Verizon picks this up, and we know that they're doing some testing with iPhones, I think Verizon could face some of the same challenges that AT&T has. Hopefully, they're ready if the large number of listeners come into the into play to do the switchover. How many of you that are on AT&T today will switch to Verizon if they announce that they're going to be a carrier? How many of you will cancel your contracts with AT&T if you're still under a two-year deal and make the move? I'd love to hear from you. Geeknews at gmail.com. All right, lots of information in the news about Twitter. And big announcements, of course, were that the that Bing was and also Google were going to carry all of the public search results for Twitter. Bing is ready to go right now. You can go over to a specific section within a Bing and actually search the entire Twitter stream. I was playing around with it. It's pretty good. It goes back a long, long ways. You can find lots of information. Google said that they are going to be ready a little bit later, and we'll see what happens with that development. So time will tell. But I'm pretty excited about both Bing and Google getting into this and being able to search Twitter, and hopefully they'll have good filtering techniques where we can look at stuff over the last two or three days or months and so forth in the past. But really, what kind of disturbs me about this is that what we're seeing here, and let me get over to the article that I wanted to reference, is that we used to have Technorati, we used to have Ice Rocket, Blogscope, BlogPulse. These were all sites where we could do real-time search, a real-time search on blogs, real-time search on a variety of different social networks that were out there. And really, a lot of action today is still in the blogosphere. There's still a lot of commentary going on blogs. Not all the commentary shifted to Twitter. And it appears to me, now Google's tried real hard with its blog search, Google blog search. They've tried real hard to keep up to date what's going on with blogs. And I hope that they don't lose focus of that. But the folks over at BlogPulse, BlogScope, Ice Rocket, you know, their real-time search, while it used to be great, I don't think they've kept up with the times. And I like real-time search. I really, really do. And I wish it was. I wish there was more companies dedicated to, you know, searching the blogosphere and really looking for, you know, new stuff coming out. But it just doesn't bode well for the entire community to see these other services dwindle. Technorati, you know, they used to be king of the hill on this. I can't tell you the last time I went to Technorati's website. And here's even something that's more sick. You know, we're at Blog World and New Media Expo, and while we were there, Technorati had a big booth. I can't even tell you what they were promoting. They had like this 20 by, or maybe 40 by 40 monstrosity. They had some lounge chairs out there. I had a banner that said Technorati. But as I was walking by the booth, there was nothing there to draw me in. I had no idea what they were talking about. Nothing compelling to draw me in to talk to them. And, you know, we were really big on our message. When we, our booth, when you walked by our booth, you had, you knew right away what we were there, what our message was. Very bold, very short, concise messaging, you know, and it was like I call a PowerPress, our podcast plugin, which we had our sign for that out front. It's kind of like a gateway. People saw that, they'd stop, they read it, then they looked over at the stats banner, they turned their head and they looked back at our portable media, our media site offerings, and boom, hey, tell me what you're all about. You know, that drew them in. And then we were, you know, we were busy. We stayed busy. We had four or five people continuously talking to people. And Technorati, huge booth, no one in it. Maybe a few people. I don't know if they were working the booth or what. But so anyway, we will see what happens with them. But real-time search used to be their domain, and so quick they have completely slipped off the face of the earth on that. Hey, if you're a Feed Demon fan like I am, Feed Demon 3.0 has, you know, it's free, but if you want an ad-free version of version 3.0, you can get it right now for $9.95 until October 31st. Starting November 1st, the price is going to increase to $14.95. So if you're still a Feed Demon fan and you've upgraded to 3.0, you definitely need to think about, if you want that ad-free version, $9.95. Nick does a great job. Nick Bradbury, who is the developer of Feed Demon, I support him wholeheartedly. And go spend that $9.95 and support Nick and the company that he's associated with. Scoble, I'm moving on here. Scoble has weighed in. I should have talked about this earlier. Scoble has weighed in on the Twitter search deal that was announced earlier in the week. And he said, who's the biggest loser? Okay, so Google's got Twitter search. Bing has Twitter search right now, ready to go. But who are we missing? Facebook. And really, when I think about Facebook, I don't care about search in Facebook. You know, Facebook's brand is me going over, hooking up with people I know, sending them a little message, having a little chat, checking out people's pictures. It's not this place where, you know, I guess I don't think about searching for people on Facebook. Only on Facebook I do, but I don't think about going to Google and finding stuff about people on Facebook. What do you guys do? You know, right now, Google doesn't have any search on FriendFeed, which I use, which is kind of funny, owned by Facebook, and, of course, Facebook search results. Now, Scoble predicts that this may be because Microsoft has an advertising deal with Facebook. Matter of fact, I think Microsoft owns a percentage of Facebook, if I remember correctly. They're one of the investors. So is Facebook being hurt by this? I would think so. But we'll have to see what happens with this. But I think Facebook is now in catch-up mode. And hopefully they can get some deal going. But Scoble's got some good points overall about the whole search and social media, talking about searching for, as an example, he says, if you're looking on Google for sushi in Palo Alto, the list kind of is generic. There's really no recommendations. But, you know, can you imagine doing a search on Google for sushi in Palo Alto and seeing on the right-hand side 25% coupon if you click here next to a business listing and you click on that, and just by being able to find that via search and going to that restaurant and showing that in that page, you get a 25% discount or something to that effect? Would that make you go to one place over the other? So Scoble feels that the folks over at Yelp, who does this very well, where you can find information out about restaurants and different places to go, should be right in the Google search results. And so I think this is where companies are going to make money on Twitter. They're going to say, hey, you need, okay, for example, podcast hosting. You need podcast hosting? Here's a, they do that via Google. They find that via search. They end the search results. Hey, 10% off on your first month of hosting, or 25% or a free month of hosting or something like that. Great way to reach people via Twitter and get seen where you can't get seen right now necessarily by a standard Google search or standard Bing search, where you're actually searching in these websites like Twitter. You might find some deals like this. So, good ideas by Scoble on this. I have a link up in the show notes for you. And while people may complain about, hey, you're just advertising, then okay, advertising, but you're offering me a discount? That I can handle. Something that I can act on. Just think about this for a second. Those of you that have iPhones, they've got the Google Maps, right? You can do a search, and you can have the search isolate it around you. You can type in restaurants, and it'll actually show you on the Google Map restaurants around you. But imagine if one of those restaurant listings had 20% off or something to that, a little flag. Boom, right over there. He goes, hey, I want here to get my 20% off on dinner. And great way to advertise. Time will tell how that evolves. Dave Weiner linked up to an article, and I don't want to hit on this too much more because we've talked about this several times in the show, but it's over on Mediaite.com. And the title of this is, We Keep Finding Historical Significant Photos, Will Our Grandchildren? And this is in reference to a video that has been recovered of Annie Frank. It was actually shot in 1941. And obviously for the family to get some video of her, that's quite remarkable. But think about this. It's 60 years from now, and a family member of yours searches for your name and they find some video of you and play it, they would be astounded, I would think. But we all are wondering what's going to happen to all this content we put online. And this article goes into that topic and the dilemma that we're all facing with all this content we're putting online, hoping it will be archived and be able to be found by our grandchildren in future years. So link will be in the show notes. You guys can check it out. Someone is going to get filthy rich when they figure out how to archive and make that available as a service. Something that we can pass on through our estates to make sure family members are able to find content that we've created, pictures, videos, you name it. I'm not going to dwell on this too long. Over on TechCrunch, they got an article on how the iPhone is blowing everyone else away in charts. I think we all know this, but if you want to take a look at this article, it shows you the profound impact that AT&T has had on the space and the effect it's had against other companies. They are driving 50 times more mobile data traffic from the time that the iPhone was introduced to now. It's actually saying a 4,932% increase in the mobile data traffic, which has amounted to a 50 times for AT&T increase over the past 3 years. So huge amount of traffic. And hey, I'm right there with you folks using data every day. AT&T has also continued to talk more about charging heavy data users more money. So I know this week, let me take a shot of water here. I know this week I have been on my phone a huge amount, checking email, just been in places and meetings where I couldn't have my computer up, presentations and so forth. And I'm going through and reading email and going to different websites. And so I was using a lot of data on the phone because, here I am in Florida and my battery's dead, right now I need to flip the Omofi on so it starts charging the battery. But, you know, on a normal day in Hawaii, I might have a three-quarter charge at the end of the day. But here, I'm dead. And that tells me I've been using the phone a great deal. And so if I kept that trend up, I'm sure I would become one of AT&T's heavy users. So AT&T, again, is basically on the warpath, saying that they are going to come up with a different pricing schedule for the heaviest users, which really irritates me because you're paying for a data plan already that's supposed to be unlimited on the phone. They don't allow tethering, so you can't tether this to a computer. So really, you're using your phone for whatever it's capable of using, and they're going to go back and say, hey, you're using your phone too much. You have to pay more money. I don't get it. They're greedy. They're really, really greedy. They really are. All right, Google Music Service. Yes, you heard me correctly. Google Music Service. It's being predicted through Google's purchase of Lala, which is a company, that there's going to be a new Google service. There's no comment, and there's absolute silence from Google, Lala. So we will see, but a new service is being confirmed. Screenshots will show how the service will be will appear when it's announced on October 28th. This is very interesting because I'm looking here at some screenshots. And imagine searching for, let's say, U2, and you find maybe some links to U2, and maybe over on the corner is a little button you can press to play a sample of U2 music, and then a little button that says buy, and you can buy an MP3 right through Google. Think that's going to have an effect on Apple iTunes, especially if the price is the same price, and you don't have to, you know, it'll be for anyone, not just iPhone users. Or iPod users? Could be big. So they feel this is a, you know, very strong possibility. So they got some mock-ups of what the service might look like. So anyway, we'll keep you advised on that. And I'm sure it'll be big news if it does break that they're actually bouncing into the music space, which that everyone's saying is going to happen next week. Okay, let me look here. This is actually a Windows 7 article. Skip that. And I'll have that link up in the show notes. All right, little space news. The Ares 1-X has been rolled out to the pad. They are expecting a test first launch to happen on October 27th on a suborbital test flight. The rocket has a lower stage similar to that planned for the Ares 1. Although with a four-segment solid rocket motor instead of the five-segment motor that the Ares 1 will use, has a dummy upper stage. Essentially, they don't want this thing to really make it into orbit. So this test flight is right around the corner. I think we're all going to be excited to see that happen, and I wish NASA luck. Of course, there's a lot of debate going on right now, considering options for Ares 1 or whether or not it's going to happen. Now, due to this launch on the 27th, NASA has pushed back the launch of the space shuttle Atlantis 4 days because of range conflicts, and they're going to allow more time for the planned launch of the Ares 1. So Atlantis is now planned to launch on STS-129 on November 16th, 4 days later than previously planned. And it's being noted here that no official launch date has been set with officials, but the delayed launch, the agency said, will allow more opportunities, again, to launch the Ares 1X and be able to have enough personnel to support both events. All right, there's a video on YouTube. It's called The Twitter Song by Bill Zucker. I have this linked up in the show notes. You guys can check it out. Let me know what you think about it. All right, let me keep moving here. Oh, how many of you are just using your white earbuds with your iPod or iPhones or your media player? Shure, I love Shure products. They make great microphones. They also make great headsets. Shure is bringing sound isolating headsets to iPhone, This is the SE115M series. It's the SE115M Plus series, specifically designed for the iPhone. And it's got a microphone as well, so if you have a call coming in, you can use that. Looking for a price here for you. I don't see it. Oh, it's $119 at Apple retail stores. So if you're looking for some good headsets or some good buds to put in your ears, the Shure Sound Isolating SE115M Plus. They come, the earphones actually come with four different sizes of earbuds. I always have a challenge finding the right size. And one thing I do like is they've actually got some oval ones that are a little different. I kind of like those better than the groove with a flat roll off. So have a link up to this in the show notes. You can check them out if you want to get a pair. I just had to bring this up, and actually I saw this on CNN, I saw this on Fox, this was all over the place this afternoon, a poll out, and this is linked up on MSNBC, and I think this is kind of interesting how this breaks down, and I don't think any of you will be too surprised. It says, fewer believe in global warming. It says, even as major climate change legislation moves through Congress, fewer voters believe that global warming is a very serious problem, or even think there is solid evidence of it. This is a new Pew Research survey. Now, according to the poll, 35% of respondents said global warming was a serious problem, down from 44% in April 2008. Even starker is the increase in voter skepticism. Only 57% they believe there is solid evidence that Earth's average temperatures increased over the past few decades, compared with 71% who said that last year, a 14-point drop. Now, interesting here, it says also just 36% said increases in global potential temperature are a result of human activity, which again was down from 47% this year. Now, as we would expect, this would fall along political lines. It says global warming was the lowest rated priority for both independent and Republicans and was 16th among Democrats out of 20 issues. So 16th out of 20 issues for Democrats and the lowest priority for both independents and Republicans. I would have thought, based on everything we hear, that the global warming concerns among Democrats would have been much higher than 16th out of the 20 issues. Now, of course, the economy is in the pit, so I'm sure that's driving that number down. But what's pretty shocking about this is, and surprising, based upon everything we see on TV every day saying that global warming is an issue, and I'm not saying that it isn't. Let's not go off that end of the boat again. But said still, despite voters' ambivalence about climate change, 50% said they would support a policy setting limits on carbon emission versus 39% who said they would oppose it. So that's kind of curious at the end of the poll results. So I have a link up to that in the show notes. Anyway, that's our environmental stuff for tonight's show. Over on PC World, botnets are proving to contribute more than ever to click fraud. For the third quarter of the year, 42.6% of fraudulent clicks came from botnet-infected computers, according to Click Forensics, a company that produces tools to detect and filter out fraudulent clicks. The figure is the highest in 4 years when Click Forensics began producing reports. For the same quarter a year ago, botnets accounted for 27.5% of bad clicks. And right now what happens is these networks have gotten pretty smart. And, if you're having banners clicked on by these botnets, you're not going to get paid for them if they're using technology in the back end to detect that it's happening. But 57% of clicks on websites are done by a computer just trying to drive advertising revenue for specific sites that they target. Simply amazing. It really is. Are you over on Slashdot? Boy, the battle on the Pirate Bay continues. A Dutch A Dutch court ruled today that the Pirate Bay has to remove a list of torrents linking to copyrighted works. Well, that's what, 99.999% of the torrents over on the Pirate Bay. The list is to be provided by a group similar to the RIAA, Bren, in Holland. And it's similar to an early ruling against Mininova. The defendants are given 3 months to comply. If not, they will face penalties of €5,000 or $7,500 US per person per day. So we'll see what the Pirate Bay boys do when this time comes up and if they start removing links to copyrighted torrents. Now, the European Union continues to really get kind of crazy on copyright infringement. The European Parliament has surrendered to pressure from member states, especially France, by banning what's called Amendment 138, a provision adopted on two occasions. How can you abandon something that was already adopted? But anyway, they abandoned provision Amendment 138, which aimed to protect citizens' rights to Internet access. The move paves the way for an EU-wide policy supporting arbitrary restrictions of Internet access. Under the original text of the amendment, any restriction of an individual could only be taken following a prior judicial ruling. The new update has completely removed this, meaning that governments now have legal grounds to force Internet service providers to disconnect their customers from the Internet, such as when suspected of illegal peer-to-peer file sharing. So they're getting tough on you over there on the EU. You better get cracking on your parliamentary members to if you want to fight this. Even more craziness, imagine that you're in Scotland and you walk into a grocery store and you hear one of the workers in the store singing a popular Scottish song. Well, apparently, the Performing Rights Society, which is a group in Scotland that requires grocery stores, restaurants to obtain a license and pay royalties for music playing the store, have asked the store to pay royalties on their singing sales clerk. You know, if I went into a grocery store and started singing, it would not be called a performance. The manager would definitely ask me to leave because people in the store would run. So, can you imagine this gal works in the store? She's singing while she's stocking the shelves. She has a very good voice. She's singing a variety of Scottish tunes. And she has been told she needs to pay a performance right. Well, as you can imagine, this has turned into quite the PR fiasco in Yair, Scotland. And the PRS has backed down on the request for her requirement to pay to sing. And the store has quit playing music in the store for its customers. So I think what that store should do in Scotland is play some podcasts instead. Educate their listeners while they're shopping. Oh, too funny. Now, the AP, on the other hand, you know, AP, don't quote any of our stuff. Don't link to us. Don't tell any, you know, you can't share our stuff without paying on a word-to-word basis. The AP has convinced a newspaper that their watermark on their images, in other words, the AP has this mark they put on there on all their photos. It's called H News, Associated Press H News. They have said, we want you to put this on all the pictures that you run. You have to run it because that watermark stops copyright infringement. They've put enough pressure on this specific newspaper that they agreed to do it. You know, the AP's got to figure out it's not about copyright. It's not about sharing. It's about their business model. You know, bloggers can now buy ink by the barrel. Podcasters can buy airtime by the thousands of hours for free. And the AP's got to figure that out. You know, they really, really do. Okay, let me go ahead and move on here. The death of file sharing. Everyone's saying, hey, file sharing, it's done. Pirate Bay's gone. It is time to nail the coffin shut. Well, not so fast. Peer-to-peer file sharing is growing less fast, so it has overall a smaller market share of the amount of content being downloaded, but the numbers are still growing. It's not it's not slowing down. And peer-to-peer usage is so widespread, they're saying that it's saturated because so many people are doing it. So I don't think that comes as a surprise to any of us. Now, for the geeks out there, I got to share this with you. This is over on Wired Magazine. Let's talk about the world's biggest digital brain. Now, when you're, you know, you got your machine there in front of you, or your, you know, your iPhone, and we're dealing in gigahertz speeds, and I don't know what the phone iPhone processes at. It's not very fast. But can you imagine this? Can you imagine having a computer with 11,000, 8,000, 15,000 processors with a processing range of in the teraflops? Blue Brain is a computer system, a network of computers set up by Ecole Polytechnique in Switzerland. It is a mega computer or mega computers that stimulates interactions among neurons in the neocortex, the brain's reasoning center, to learn how thinking works. So they're trying to map the brain and figure out how our old tickers up here work. Peak teraflops on this supercomputer is a 22.4. The Mac Daddy here is NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center in Greenbelt, Maryland. It reproduces their teraflop computer, reproduces Earth Paleolithic era climate, and use it to test models for predicting weather patterns. 111 peak teraflops. That, my folks, is some serious processing power. Oh, they aren't the Mac Daddy. Another one's called Ranger. It's Texas Advanced Computing Center in Austin, Texas. Oh, of course. Has to be run by a drug company. Replicates the interactions of the H1N1 flu virus with the human body and the effect of various other over-the-counter drugs. Peak teraflops, 504. So the scientists now can tap into these machines, and they're essentially big clusters of ordinary computers, and they hand off little jobs to each one. Each one does a little bit of processing, and they send it back. Pretty amazing stuff. It really, really is. Of course, SETI did, probably was the ones that perfected this the best. All right, let me look at the time here because I'm done with the regular content. Hey, perfect, an hour and 1 minute. Let me go here and load email. I don't think we've got a lot of I don't have that love and feeling out there. I think you guys are I know you know what's been was amazing? Last week when I took show off on Friday last week, the numbers from the Tuesday show were about twice as many as my normal podcast, and I was pretty blown away by that. Simply because there was a longer download period. And what it tells me, listeners, you need to pay attention. Some of you have got your iTunes stuff jacked up, and you're only getting the last show. You need to go in your iTunes settings and set this show to download all podcasts. Because, again, I had double the number of downloads because the show went a week. So some of you out there that are listening are missing podcasts. This is show number 521. Did you listen to 520? I don't know if you did or did not, but, you know, that's my advice for you there, okay? All right, let me go ahead and this, you know, this is primarily iTunes users. That's where I saw the biggest jump. Those of you that are on the Palm and on the BlackBerry and stuff, don't worry. You guys are good to go. Hey, I want to thank Greg. Greg was the one actually linked me to this public performance in the UK about this singing stock clerk who was singing in the Scotland grocery store. I want to thank Jerry. Jerry found my UF story again, and actually Jerry didn't. Jerry recommended that I find it. And a couple of other of you in some other emails linked up to some of the shows. One of the shows I got to go back and pull the audio off of was show number 250. That was one of the shows where we talked about UFOs in the podcast. And again, Halloween is like, woo, right around the corner, right? So got to get that stuff linked up so we can either I'll reshare it with you or replay the original broadcast on the Halloween show. If you've got Halloween stories, you have to send them to me. And the Halloween stories are going to be UFOs, weird encounters. If you got just some wacky story, I won't limit it to just UFOs because I know, you know, not everyone has had a UFO sighting like I've had. Or actually two. But you got some weird story, I want to hear it. Then it's going to be for the Halloween show. Okay? That's next week. So you got to get them in. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is +1-619-342-7365. +1-619-342-7365. You call the voicemail hotline, you got 3 minutes. That's when it times out. Emails, you can send me a link to an audio file. I'll download it and play it. But get those entries in because the Halloween show is right around the corner. And I want to hear your guys' weird stories, UFO encounters, ghosts, you name it. Let's hear it, okay? Even if it's secondhand, but it has to be from someone that you trust, okay? Not just something you heard on the internet. Okay, I think that's it. And for those of you that are watching on Ustream, hey, I figured out the video replay action. So I'm actually recording tonight in 24 frames per second, which is good. And my phone's ringing off the hook. I'm not. People are still used to calling me at this time of day because I know I'm in Hawaii usually. So I got 4 or 5 voicemails here to check in a second. But as always, I want to thank everyone for hanging out with me. And believe me, 2 more shows on the road. I'll be ready to be back at home for a while. I can tell my honey, my lovely wife, is missing me. She's we were chatting last night, and I got to get home and take over dad duties. She's been a super trooper this month while I've been on travel. One thing about, people ask me all the time, how did your wife put up with that? If my husband was gone a month, I'd kill him. You know, how can you do that? Well, you got to remember, when I was in the military, I was gone 270 days a year. And so for me being gone a week or two, home for 3 or 4 days, gone a week, home for 2 or 3 days, gone a week, that is like normal operations at my house. And when I'm home, I'm home, obviously. She's a pretty tough cookie. She really is. And she just, we spent, the first 14 years of our marriage with me traveling a lot. And I continue to travel a lot now in this second career in the new media space. And but she understands it's what puts food on the table and it keeps our lights on. As you guys do well know, the sponsors are very important to this show and really keep things cooking here. So your support of the sponsors is greatly appreciated. Of course, if you've listened to any of our other family of shows on Raw Voice, please support their sponsors as well because that helps them keep their lights on as well and keeps them creating this great content. It's been my pleasure to do this for you this evening. And no matter when you're listening, morning, day, or night, I appreciate you for being subscribed. Of course, I want to thank the Ohana for being part of the family here and look forward to bringing you a show from Sand Hill Road, Silicon Valley, next Monday night for Tuesday morning release. And should be a great show. Lots of stuff coming, folks. Lots of cool things coming in the future. So I'll be excited to share that all with you soon. But until then, thanks for hanging out. And aloha.